Well, last week we talked about freedom sacrifice. And today I want to speak about the sacrifices that God requires. Last week we talked about two of them, the sacrifice of repentance and the sacrifice of obedience. And I want to make sure that we all understand right from the beginning here that we're not talking about earning God's favor or earning God's salvation. There is nothing that we have to do to earn the blessing of the sacrifice of Jesus for our sins. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It was not by works of righteousness, which we have done, it says in Titus, but according to his what? His mercy that he saved us. So in everything I'm speaking of, I'm not talking about in any way trying to religiously do penance or somehow pay for God's forgiveness or pay for God's favor or somehow add to what Christ has already done. Amen? We are saved by grace through faith and only in the completed work of Christ on the cross. Okay? But we do owe God our lives. Because it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says he died, Paul said this, he died, Christ died, so that we who live should no longer live for ourselves, but live for him who died for us. So now what we're doing is a response to God's love for us. We're giving back in honor and in love, again, not out of guilt, not out of a sense of paying something that God has already paid for, but because we love him, because we honor him, because we know that our life will come to its fullest potential in relationship with him. So we want to walk out this life with Christ in us as the Lord of our lives. Are you following what I'm saying today? We need to allow Jesus to be in the driver's seat of our heart, not because God's going to kill us and send us to hell, but because God so loved the world. God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So I want to make sure we understand that the sacrifices that God requires are for our benefit. It's required to make our lives full. It's required to make our lives free. When you are walking in communion with Christ, when you're giving Christ your all, you're not just giving him 75% of your life or 80%, but you're giving him 100% of your life. That's when life reaches its fullest climax. Somebody say amen. That's when you understand the beauty and the joy of knowing Jesus. Two verses to start off with this morning. Ephesians 1:7. God, who is so rich in kindness and grace, that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. Can you say amen? And then Psalm 116, verse 12, in the Amplified Version, it says, what will I give to the Lord in return for all his benefits towards me? How can I repay him for his gracious blessings? That's the question that we're looking at this morning. What do I owe to God? What sacrifices does God require of me? This is just a little too loud, guys, if you could just put it back a little bit. As you know, last week we talked about the founders of our country and the people in the military and people who sacrificed their lives to protect our freedoms. I'm not going to go back over that lesson again, but understand that freedom is not free. Freedom costs something. And the physical freedom is a blessing that we are still free in this country. Somebody say amen. We don't have to worry about police coming in here and arresting us because we do not have freedom of religion. Thank God we still have freedom of religion in this country. Amen. And that's a wonderful thing. But there's a deeper freedom that we talked about last week. Because there are a lot of people that are walking around, they're not incarcerated, they're not in jail, but how many of you know deep down inside their heart, they are not free? As a matter of fact, you may know some people who are walking around free, but they are very empty inside. They're very sorrowful inside. They're very depressed. They have no hope. They have no sense of even why they're here on this earth. The freedom that I'm talking about today is the freedom that Christ won for us by breaking sin's power over our life. Hallelujah. He broke the power of sin over our life. He broke the schemes of Satan to keep us away from God, to alienate us from God. Jesus was the bridge between man and God. He was the only sacrifice that God accepted for the redemption of mankind. And because of Christ's blood, we are now free from sin. Can you say amen? Amen. Jesus paid the greatest price. Again, as it says in Ephesians 1, we just read it. Because God is so rich in His kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave us of our sins. So today we want to give back the life that we owe God because He redeemed us from alienation. He redeemed us from eternal separation. The price, the payment for our sins was paid by Christ on the cross. And that was a price that we could never pay. We could never pay the price of being as holy as God is holy. You're sitting here today and say, wait a minute, Pastor, I'm a pretty good person. You may be very well a very good person, but God is not comparing us to our next door neighbor. He's comparing us to Himself. How holy are you compared to God? The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. None of us could be righteous enough in our own selves to earn the salvation that we have through the righteousness that Christ gives to us. But let's talk about the sacrifice that we owe. It's defined as a surrender of something valued or desirable for the sake of something considered more valuable. People are willing to make a sacrifice of something for the sake of something else that is more valuable. You save up to buy a car. You're tired of walking to work or taking the bus to work. So you're saving up money in order to have a car. You're making a sacrifice. Instead of having that, you know, Starbucks coffee every week, you're saving that $5 and you're putting it aside. Or you want to go to college, so you're putting aside something. You're making a sacrifice. You want to buy your girlfriend an engagement ring. Come on now. Come on now. Those are expensive. But everybody say, it's worth it. Amen, it's worth it. I had to work really hard to save up for my wife's engagement ring. But it was worth it. So we make sacrifices for the things that are more valuable in our life. And spiritually, we should be making sacrifices to build up the spiritual side of our life. It could be something as simple as getting up a little bit earlier to pray in the morning. It could be something as simple as saying, God, I'm not going to backslide this time. I'm really going to read through the New Testament. I know it's hard to read through the Old Testament, but start out with the New Testament. Read the book of John. Read some of the Gospels. Read the book of Acts. Make a promise to God that I'm going to immerse myself in the Word of God. I'm going to get this Word inside of me. Don't you think it's about time? You know, Angel was talking about sometimes how we wait and we put things off. And then we realize we wake up one morning and we all of a sudden we're in a crisis situation. And we say, wow, I wish I knew some scriptures right now. I wish I knew how to pray. I wish I had some Christian friends right now. You see, the sacrifices of God are a blessing to us. It's not just that God is looking for us to try to drain our life of joy or to try to, you know, exact from us some kind of payment. God knows that He came to give us abundant life, but that abundant life can only be experienced in partnership with Jesus Christ. If there's something missing in your life today, let me suggest, put Christ in the driver's seat in your life. Hallelujah. How many of you can look back and see that as you have gradually trusted God more and given Him a more central place in your life, your life has gotten better? How many of you can say, honestly, as I look back over my life, I can honestly say, by making the sacrifices to obey God, to follow Christ, to say no to sin, to forgive others who have hurt me, I have found that my life is more joyful. I found that my life is more full. I found that my life is more meaningful. Hallelujah. Congratulations to you. God bless you that your acts of faith and your acts of love will be rewarded. Everyone who follows Jesus with all their heart, there is a reward for following Jesus. The peace that passes all understanding, you can't buy it. You can't get it on the television. Come on, somebody say amen. You can't get it in a store or by buying something. It only comes through faith in Christ. I want to encourage you today to keep making those sacrifices for God. If you've been praying for an unsaved loved one, keep praying. Don't give up. If you've been trying to read through your Bible, don't give up on reading your Bible. If you've been trying to be more positive with your words instead of complaining and always being a person who gets into a self-pity rut, be a person who confesses the truth of God. Be a person who declares, hallelujah, with Christ all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Be a person of faith and be a person of love. I want to hold up the example of Jesus, our Savior. And I want to say to you, church, today, Catalyst Church, run with endurance the race that is set before you. This is a word for somebody today. There's somebody out there whose muscles have been getting tired. Maybe you've been running, you know, a quarter of a lap, a half a lap, or 5 miles, or 10 miles, or 100 miles. And it seems like, Lord, I'm running out of steam. I'm running out of gas. You know what? God allows downloads. Hallelujah. If you need more strength, you could ask for more strength. If you need more love, you can ask for more love. Is anybody with me this morning on this message? If you need more peace, God provides. If you need more wisdom, it says, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally. You're in a situation in your life where you need more wisdom. Ask God. You need more patience. The person you're living with is driving you crazy. Of course, that doesn't apply to anybody here, right? Nobody here in this room. But hypothetically, if the person you were living with was driving you crazy, you need more peace. You need more peace. Be encouraged today that every act of faith, every act of love is a blessing. There's a reward. You know, you're going to notice the difference. Maybe it'll take a month. Maybe it'll take 6 months. But wherever you are in your progress with God, I encourage you today, fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. Get a hold of eternal life. Run with endurance the race that is before you. Looking unto Jesus. Don't let your eyes be distracted by the world. Don't let your eyes look within to the flesh. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Look unto Jesus. Everybody say, look unto Jesus. The author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Consider Jesus as your example. He endured such hostility. They hated him. They spit at him. They tortured him. He was the blameless, pure, and holy Son of God. There was no fault. There was no sin in him. And can you imagine? The devil tried to do the worst that he could. Tried to get Jesus to even turn away from the cross. But Jesus said, not my will, God, but your will be done. And Jesus was our example of obedience, even unto death. You know, we pray for people in other countries who are persecuted, and we read stories, you know, in China and in North Korea and other places in the world, in Russia, where people have had to pay such a price for their faith. And we admire those people. We esteem them. But you know, we must also toughen up a little bit as citizens of the good old USA. Come on, somebody say amen. We can't just run away and be blown out of the water. Every little thing that goes wrong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. I'm preaching to myself too this morning. Pastor Dave, put on the whole armor of God. Sometimes, you know, the sin that so easily besets us, things trip us up. Oh, my wife argued with me this week. I'm not going to church. I got a traffic ticket. God, why did you allow me to get a traffic ticket? You know, I'm just, you know, I failed that test at school and, you know, I studied so hard. You know, this thing that I was hoping for, I didn't get the job that I wanted. Well, I guess God doesn't love me anymore. We're so quick to walk away. Come on, church, you know what I'm talking about. It's time that we get some muscle, some courage, some stick-to-itiveness. Can you imagine the people in China who are meeting in underground churches? They're thrown in prison. They're tortured for their faith. The Christians in the first century, under the wicked rule of Nero, the emperor, were persecuted, thrown into the Colosseum with lions tearing them apart, wild beasts devouring them. They were actually crucified on crosses, oil was put on them. They were lit up like human torches. They lined the streets. Read about it in the book of history. These things actually happened. People gave their whole lives to Christ. Polycarp, one of the great fathers of the faith in the first century, was arrested by Nero and was brought into the arena. And they told him, why don't you renounce Christ? All you have to do is say, I renounce Christ. I don't believe. I'll follow the Roman gods. And he said, since a child, he says, my Lord has always been good to me. He's been my faithful friend. He's meant everything to me. How can I deny him now who has loved me so much? And they lit the fire and burned them alive. I'm not trying to frighten anybody. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just trying to compare sometimes our faith, including myself, with the faith and the sacrifice of others. If you're prone to self-pity, wake up. God is here. Wake up. God is here. Hallelujah. Today I want to talk about and leave you with two other sacrifices, the sacrifice of praise. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Remember that song? Hebrews 13:15 says, through Jesus, and remember those first two words, through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. I like the fact that the Bible calls praise a sacrifice, because there are times in your life where you just don't feel like praising God. And the Lord says, praise me anyway. Hallelujah. When Paul and Silas were in prison, you know the story. We've talked about it many times. They were arrested for preaching the gospel. They were beaten, put in stocks, put in an inner cell. Their backs were bleeding. In the midnight hour, Paul and Silas began to sing praises to God and begin to pray. And God sent a mighty earthquake and broke those chains. Hallelujah. There's power in praise. Praise is also faith in action. The psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Everybody say, at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. In the face of terrible conflict, it's hard to praise the Lord. But the Lord is challenging us to show our confidence is in God. It's not in our human flesh. But our confidence is in the living God who made heaven and earth. In Psalm 27, the psalmist said, the Lord is my strength and my salvation. The Lord is my light, and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David was a marked man running for his life. King Saul had put a contract out on his life. How many of you know that can ruin your day right there? If somebody's trying to kill me. Pastor, I need counseling. Somebody put out a contract on my life. Well, I could see why you'd be a little upset. Somebody say amen. David said this, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He said, when the wicked and my enemies come against me, even then will I be confident in this, that I have made the Lord God my trust. He is my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. Is there anybody who agrees with this morning? He's a strong tower. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a rock in the midst of a dry land. He is the great I am. Are you there today? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then in verse 13, he says, I would have given up. One translation says, this is David speaking in Psalm 27, I would have fainted. Another translation says, I would have despaired unless, everybody say, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He had this rock solid confidence that God was a good God. Not everything that happens in our life is good. But how many of you know that in everything, God is working for the good of those who love Him? Amen? A lot of bad things happen to good people. If somebody tells you otherwise, they're lying to you. But in the midst of our difficulties, in the midst of our sorrows, we have a rock we can count upon. We have a foundation in our life. We have a Father. The Bible says He will never allow us to be tempted above that which we're able to bear. But with the temptation will allow a way of escape. Hallelujah. Do you praise God before the victory or do you praise Him after the victory? Don't raise your hand. This is a tough one. My wife and I were praying 2 weeks ago about something. I was waiting for a medical report and my wife just started praying. She says, God, I'm going to praise You in advance. I'm going to praise You for a good report. I'm going to praise You in advance. That takes courage. It takes faith. Job was the classic example. How many of you don't like reading the book of Job? Ooh. It's a tough one. Job chapter 1, Job has this test that the devil is allowed to test him. But God is watching over him. And then it says, Job arose after all these terrible things happened. He tore his robes, shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. Job 1:20 and 21. He tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground. And, you know, some of us might say, and then he cursed God. And then he threw in the towel. And then he gave up his faith. No, and then he worshiped. Whew. Worship is a sacrifice to God. And the best worship, the best praise is when you're going through it. I just think, and I can't necessarily show you a scripture, but I think God really tunes in when the hurting and the broken and the wounded are worshiping God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a man, a precious Christian man by the name of Frank Folio. He wrote a book called Hey God. And it was about all the stories and testimonies in his life of faith, how God answered prayers. One time his daughter was injured in a car accident. And she was severely wounded. Her brain was damaged. And this was many years ago, and her condition grew steadily worse. The hospitals didn't know what else to do with her. Finally, she was unresponsive, and her condition had not improved after 7 years. They confined her to an institution where they kept mentally ill people. One day, after 7 years, Frank would visit her. He found it very hard to visit his daughter because in his heart, the devil was whispering, "Why are you wasting your time? She's not going to be any different." Imagine this going on 7 years. 7 years. Her condition only getting worse. One time she was in a straitjacket. She literally tore the straitjacket off. This particular day, after 7 years, Frank heard the calm and firm voice of God in his car saying, "Thank me that your daughter is exactly where she is. Frank, why don't you praise me?" And he said, "No way." And this is in his book. You can read this, his dialogue back and forth with God. This is going on, this argument. "No way. No way, God. Why should I?" You know, and he was just angry and discouraged. And he went into the institution, the hospital, wherever she was. And he had to check in, all these things. God's still speaking to him. "Frank, thank me. Worship me. Praise me." Finally, just before he got to the door where her room was, he said, "Okay, God, I surrender. I thank you that my daughter is where she is because I know that you love her more than I do." The only way you could thank God in that situation is the acknowledgement that God loves that person more than you do. Just then he heard a sound behind the door. "I want my daddy. I want my daddy. I want my daddy." He opened the door. His daughter was speaking, came out of a coma, and was completely healed by the mercy and glory of Jesus Christ. Somebody give God some praise in the house. God is able. God is able. Hallelujah. God is able. We need to magnify the Lord this morning. I feel like I'm preaching to several very critical situations in the house today. I don't know who it is, but I feel like there's some people at a crossroad in their life. I feel like there's some people who are at a place where, you know, you're so weary, you're almost ready to throw in the towel. But I also hear God say, come up a little higher. Hallelujah. For in my presence there is fullness of joy, and at my right hand pleasures forevermore. Give God the sacrifice of praise. And the last one, we close with this, is sacrificial gifts and offerings to God. It's easy to give God out of our surplus, right? But as Donna mentioned so beautifully in her devotion, the widow woman in the Bible who gave those two coins, you know, somebody would look at that and say, oh, that's nothing. I gave $1,000 this week. But that poor woman, that was the last savings, that was the last money that she had, those two coins. And Jesus commented about her. How many of you know it's a pretty good thing when Jesus talks about you in a positive way? That's always a nice thing. Like the woman who poured oil on him, remember that sacrifice? And Jesus said to those who were grumbling, leave her alone. She has done a beautiful thing for me. How would you like to have that as part of your legacy? I personally anointed Jesus' body. Wow. Wow. Well, you can do that with your praise, by the way. You do bless Jesus with your offerings. You do bless Jesus with your obedience. Are you following me today? All of these sacrifices are not something to earn our salvation, but these sacrifices are what brings us closer to God, what brings honor to Him, what brings pleasure to His heart. It says, thank you, Lord. I thank you for the price you paid. I thank you for the life I now have with you. From the beginning, God instructed people to bring offerings to Him. From the time that Cain and Abel brought the first offering to God, sacrifices were meant to be a symbol of the fact that God's ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, would someday be given. But the point of a sacrifice is that the payment for a life is high. In other words, if you're going to find forgiveness with God, and if you're going to find a new life with God, our sins had to be atoned for. Our sins had to be forgiven, remember? Because God is a holy, holy God. What God was showing by the death of those animals was that one life had to be exchanged for your life. In order for your blood to be washed by Christ's blood, a life had to be given. A sacrifice reminds us of the severity of sin. It reminds us that sin is serious. And it costs God the life of His Son. Are you with me today? Sin is serious. It costs God His Son. That's why all of these sacrifices were in the Bible. It's a beautiful picture of the salvation and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. These were types of the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice of Christ. They were also given in recognition for God's protection and blessing as a condition of blessing. In order to receive a blessing, God said, bring a sacrifice. And even in the story of Jacob and his father Isaac, you see, the father says, bring me some food, bring me a tasty meal, and then I will bless you. You see the symbolism there. When the father was blessed by the aroma of the meal, his heart was ready to bless his son back. When you bring sacrifices to God, whether it's your time, whether it's your treasures, or whether it's your talents, amen. It's an aroma that goes up before God. Are you with me today? It's a pleasing aroma to God. It's not that God requires, this is not a quid pro quid, like you're making an exchange. God, I'm buying your blessing. No, no, this is all about love. This is like a marriage. You don't make a contract with your wife and say, listen, I'll bring home $100 a week if you cook 6 meals. I'll bring 150 if you cook dessert too. How stupid would that be in a marriage? Or if a husband says, you know, you better love me or I'm going to shoot you. You know, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. Love by definition has to be free. It has to be freely given. You cannot extort love from somebody. That's the one thing you cannot force. You can force people to do a lot of things, but you cannot force genuine love. Genuine love has to come freely from the heart. That's what God is looking for. Everybody say, that's what God. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's what God is looking for. In the New Testament, offerings were given for the ministry of Jesus and his disciples. I've read this scripture before, and you don't have to look at it now, but there were a group of people that followed, mostly ladies, actually. You could read about it in Luke chapter 8 later on. But some of them are mentioned. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support Jesus and the disciples out of their own means. From their own, oh, there it is. Thank you very much. You're quick. Very good, Matthew. So you could see here that support for the ministry was being given even in the New Testament times. And Paul, as Sister Donna read in Philippians, talks about how the church supplied his needs so he could go about being a missionary. And he says these words, I'm amply supplied now that I have received the gifts that you sent. They are a fragrant offering. You see that? Paul is saying that the offering, the gift that you sent me, is a fragrant offering to God. He says that in Philippians 4:18. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory. So we also learn in the New Testament that giving is an honored part of partnering with God in the work of the ministry. It's a privilege. Is he up there in heaven waiting for, you know, our next offering in order to feel good about us? No, it's not about that. It's about the fact that we can partner with him in the great global mission of Christ. We send money to missionaries. We send people who are poor. We help them, people who are in crisis situations. We try to help them. We do all of these things, and we support the ministry of the church by our offerings. One of the most beautiful stories, and I'm going to close with this, is the story of King David, how he dedicated the site where the temple of God was going to be built. And it's a long story. You could read it in 1 Chronicles 21. I don't have the time now. But there was a judgment that was upon Israel because David had sinned and numbered the troops. And because of his arrogance and disobedience to God, this judgment was coming where God was actually punishing Israel. And there was an angel that stopped over Jerusalem, was about to destroy Jerusalem because David's sin was so grievous to God. And David saw the angel of judgment and he pleaded with God. He said, please, God. He said, this was my sin. Don't let these innocent people suffer because of my sin, Lord. I was the one who made the mistake. And he goes down and God says, okay. He says, I want you to offer a sacrifice to me at that same place where the angel is. It happened to be at the threshing floor of a man named Arunah, a Jebusite. He wasn't an Israelite, but he was a Jebusite. And those of you who study the Bible, you know the Jebusites were the last people to stay in Jerusalem. They didn't want to leave. And they were still there. But David goes to this man, this Jebusite, and he says, I want to buy your threshing floor because God has instructed me to give him an offering at this place. The man is terrified. He sees King David coming. I mean, in those days, you know, the king could snap his fingers and your head would be cut off. So, you know, if a king walked into your house, you had to think about, why is he here? Is this good or bad news? He says, no, I'll give it to you. And David says these words. No, I insist on paying the full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours and sacrifice your money. It's like, you know, when offering time comes, you turn to your neighbor and say, hey, lend me $50, would you please? I'm not going to give an offering for my neighbor's money. I got to give my own money. I will not take the Lord's what is yours. Take for the Lord's what is yours. Or sacrifice a burnt offering. Now watch this. That cost me nothing. I am not going to offer to the Lord that which cost me nothing. So David paid Arunna 60 shekels of gold for the site. I did a little homework and I found out the equivalent of 60 shekels of gold, 600 shekels of gold, is $500,000 in today's economy. He paid $500,000 for the site where he was going to make this offering. And then guess what happened? Fast forward. Later on, the Lord showed him that the house of God, the temple in Jerusalem, was to be built, guess where? Right on that property, right on that site where the offering was made. That's found in 1 Chronicles 22:1. David said, the house of the Lord God is to be here, and also the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. And then in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, his son Solomon begins to build the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem, verse 1, on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David. This is 2 Chronicles 3, what? It was on the threshing floor of Arunna the Jebusite, the place provided by David. P.S. This was also the site where Abraham came 1,000 years before Mount Moriah and offered his son, symbolically, figuratively, offered Isaac on the altar at the same site. So you have generations of blessing happen, the temple being built at the place where sacrifice was made in obedience to God. Somebody give God some praise in the house. The temple was built in the place where the sacrifice in obedience to God was offered. And as we said before, it's not just about money. It's about our time. It's about offering our talents. And it's also our offerings, whatever God puts on our hearts. As I close this morning, the Joash chest that you'll see next week is a reminder that there was a young king, a child king, started being king when he was 7 years old. And he had it in his heart to restore the temple of God. He wanted to see the house of God be beautiful. And they were giving tithes and offerings, but the priests were not using the money for the restoring of the temple. They were using the money for making the articles for worship, the wick trimmers, the ladles, the golden items, all of these things. And Joash said, after so many years, he says, when will you begin to restore the temple of God? And then the priests realized that they were doing wrong, and they began to put a chest out, and they began to collect the money, and the money was immediately put to use in restoring the temple of God. It's a symbolic thing. Obviously, we're not living in the time of King Joash. But what it's saying, when you pray this week about what God would have you to do, that you're willing to be a part of the mission of Christ here at 14500 Landstar Boulevard. What you're saying by your offering is, God, you got my attention. I'm all in. God, you got my attention. I'm all in. Whatever it is. And it's not about equal offerings. It's about equal sacrifice. For some person, $10 is a sacrifice. For someone else, maybe $10,000. But whatever God puts on your heart, would you promise this week? I'm going to ask you right now, while every head is bowed, every eye closed. You know, I don't often preach about giving. I really don't. As a matter of fact, I think in 5 years, probably this is the first sermon I've ever put so much attention on giving and offerings, because the Lord made this part of my study on sacrifice. But while every head is bowed and every eye closed, how many of you will do one simple thing this week? Say, Pastor, I will pray and ask God what he would have me to do next week in that special offering. That's all I'm asking. Would you put your hand up and say, yes, Pastor, I will pray about what God will have me to do. Would you kindly put your hand up? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you all.